whistles, so I can stand the heat up here. Yes, I'm gonna turn it off. One of the things that makes us different if we're walking with God is that we praise God, we worship Him. And we were going through Ahab and the house of Omri, and once you kind of realize there's sin, there's punishment, there's disregard for God, and you know that theme just goes on and repeats and repeats. I thought it'd be better to switch for a couple of weeks and to talk from Psalms. I'm going to go through Psalm 136 today. But praising God is a big part, and this is, you know, why the Psalms are so great, because some of them go back 3,000 years. We often talk about Christ and you know that being 2,000 years. Well, David, who wrote the first section of Psalms, he was about 1,000 B.C., so that's 3,000 years of written praise and prayers and different things that Psalms give us. And we're going to look at in Psalm 136, kind of the question, you know, how do we praise God? What kind of process can we use when we praise God? I found it to be, actually, I was looking for something to do, and I started reading this, and I started kind of working through it, and I found myself being very encouraged by the process of praising God that's given here. Now, I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I am going to read the first three verses in Hebrew, okay? And you're going to recognize, hopefully, some words here, because how many of you know the word Yahweh? Yahweh, okay. How many of you know the word Elohi? Okay, or Elohim. Adoni, or Adonai, or Adonim, okay. And then there's a very important word which we're going to talk about, and that's Chesed. Chesed. That's God's covenant love. We'll talk about that in a minute. So listen to these first few verses. Hodu la Yahweh ki tov, ki la olam chesedo. Hodu la Elohi ha Elohim, ki la olam chesedo. Todu la Adoni ha Adonim, ki la olam chesedo. That word at the end, hesedo, some people debate what that word means. Some people want to translate it love, mercy. One article God wrote his doctorate on, it's God's loyalty to his covenant people. And it really, all of that kind of makes sense, because if you think about God's love, it's best expressed in those whom he shared love with, those who are in a covenant relationship with him. And that refrain, laholam chesedo, forever his love. That's you could say it, and it's ki laholam chesedo, which is because his love is forever. You could put it that way. So the idea of praising God and remembering the great quality that connects us to him is his love. The other word, hodu, is very important. That's the first word, hodu, the Yahweh ki tov. That is, praise the Lord, Yahweh, praise Yahweh. He is good because he is good. The verb doesn't mean just to praise. Praise doesn't do it justice. It also kind of has this idea of confessing who God is. And if you think about that, we're gonna get you to think about that today. That praise, you know, think about our songs as we worship the Lord and we talk about, you know, his majesty. We're thinking about who he is. Think about how Christ died for us. We think about what he's done. And it's a process of remembering and recalling who God is and what he's done and what he will do. And then also, like, what he's doing in us, what he's done in my life. That part's not necessarily in this text. But I'm going to bring it up to you later. So let's look at, I wanted to say too, the thing is that, you know, we want to rehearse the things of God, right? We want to meditate on these things. So praise is not just singing in church. you can praise God at home. You can praise God, you know, when you go to bed. You just rehearse, you know, the good things that God has done. And then, you know, we say it. We say it out loud. We say it together when we sing and praise together, right? But also, it should then also turn into action. Like everything to do with God and the Word of God, it's like, yes, it starts in our mind. We're thinking about God. We're praising God. It's in our meditation, in our heart. And then it gets out to how we live before Almighty God. So here's the part that I just read. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. So you see, line by line, the first part is the part that somebody's saying, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks because He is the God of gods. But the congregation together says, for His love is everlasting. Let me hear you say that. All right, so give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. If we think about what's happening there, we're thinking about the qualities and attributes of Almighty God, right? We're thinking about who God is. He is Yahweh. The first part is Yahweh, and that's the covenant name of God that He gave to Moses and He gave to the people of Israel, saying, you know, this is our covenant God. And what is He? He is good. He does good for us, right? So you're just remembering attributes of God. He is the God of gods. We sing, we exalt Thee, and, you know, He's above all gods, right? And somebody, how do you say He's above God? You know, the Bible says, whatever spiritual beings there are, whatever powers there are, whatever delusionary spirits there are, the Lord is the Lord above all of them. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the God of all gods. We could think about His holiness. We could think about His justice. One of the things that's often missing when we think about God, that He is absolutely holy and He's absolutely just. We could think about His power, His ability, His strength. I don't know if you find it amazing, but the idea that I, a little person on a planet of 7 billion little persons, in the history of humanity, what am I? I'm a speck. And yet I know when I call upon the name of the Lord, when I pray to Him about little things around me, I see Him answer prayers. What is, you know, David said that. Said, what is God that He cares about me? What is it? I'm the son of man, that He should think about me or listen to me, right? So we think about His mercy, His love, His great power. Again, that the pictures in Scripture where He is enthroned, absolutely enthroned in holiness. He's eternal. He alone possesses eternal life. All these qualities, all these attributes that God has, they're all praiseworthy. And just think, if you sit down, you know, no matter what your emotional state, we were talking about that in Sunday school, wherever you are within yourself, and you start, instead of thinking about yourself or your problems, you start thinking about God. You start lifting up your heart and thinking about who He is and His powers and His attributes. It changes your focus. It can really change, you know, how you're thinking and doing. So we speak in praise of His qualities. Now we're going to do this again. To Him who alone does great wonders. To Him who made the heavens with skill. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters. To Him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. And the moon and stars to rule by night. You know, Paul tells us that in God we have our life, our very being, our existence. I mean, have you ever really given thought to thanking God for air to breathe? You know, I mean, it's like I get to go out on the water and I see, you get away from the city a bit. You get out to where there's more like creation and less humanity. And you start to, you know, the clouds and the space, and you realize, you know, God spoke this into existence, the power, the authority, and the gift of it all. He's given that to us. He's given us our life. He's given us space and birds and all creation. Excuse me. One day I'm going to bring water up here. Even the stars and the moon. Some of us, we've worked through Genesis, and we know how the structures of creation not only are beautiful to see at night and that, but they also show the authority structures of God. That you have, you know, sun and moon that rule over day and night, and you have the birds and fish ruling over the sky and sea. Everything that God does, there's a pattern to it, and of course, he's made us part of the key point of his creation. It's so sad when we live in a culture that wants to ignore God and ignore his creative authority. Ignore the fact that all this out here is a gift from him. And if we spoil it, we're spoiling God's gift. If there's any reason to have ecology, that would be it. You know, I'm not trying to save the planet. I'm trying to say, thank you, God, for giving me this beautiful space and this nice stuff and help me to take care of it better, right? But to give thanks to God for things that people take for granted or they want to attribute it to something else. Praise God, right? So we can think about what God has given us on a very natural basis. Later he talks about food, clothing, things like that. You know, God does take care of his creation. He's very connected to us. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn and brought Israel out from their midst, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it. But he overthrew Pharaoh with his army in the Red Sea. Here they're confessing. And think about this. Now, this is probably late Old Testament, Psalm 136. And what are they doing? They're going back and rehearsing God's salvific act and that redemption from Egypt and praising God step by step by step. And I just think about, you know, what more do we have to praise God for, right? They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know about a cross. They didn't know about a resurrection. They were kind of fuzzy even about the eternal kingdom. They didn't know many of the things that we know. And the idea of sitting back and yes, recounting what God did in ancient history and recounting what he did through Jesus Christ, but also how he saved me. You know, the idea of Egypt and being trapped in the world. I was trapped in the world. I was lost. I was blind to God. And God, in his mercy and his grace, he reached down to pull me out. He rescued me from darkness. He rescued me from death. He rescued me from the world, the flesh, the devil, right? He destroyed the power of death, the power of sin, and the power of the devil through Jesus Christ. All that, you know, praise God for his love is everlasting, right? Rehearsing what God has done in your life. That's what I did this week when I was looking at this text, and I realized that was Israel's history, and it is ours as well. But then I started thinking about my own conversion. I was thinking about how God reached out to me and how God began to teach me and how I began to pray earnestly for the first time in my life. I thought about how he filled me with the Spirit of God and gave me gifts and just all the things that God has done. And he's continued to do it. And I can just recount point after point after point, seeing God's provision, protection, all the way through my life, right? That's a real change of focus. It's a real change of heart when we stop and confess what God has done. Confess who he is. Confess how he looked at you, saw you. Confess how he provided for us, right? To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who smote the great kings and slew mighty kings. Shion, king of Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And he gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant. Again, they're recounting the steps going out of Egypt through the wilderness. And the first two kings that they defeated on Moab's side of the Jordan was Bashan and Og. Og and Shion. They defeated these two kings and they took over the land. It ended up with Manasseh, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh on that side of the Jordan. And that was the first territory that was taken. So what are they doing? Again, praising God for how he protected, how he guided. And one time here, there was this person that came, and they were very demonic. And, you know, we were kind of pushing them towards the door. And this just got very angry and started, you know, calling curses. Curse the church. You know, I call lightning to strike the church. Cursed my family. You're going to da-da-da-da. And all this hatred and vile stuff. And I just realized that was the enemy's plan. The enemy would love to destroy what we're doing. The enemy would love to destroy our families. The enemy would love to destroy our faith. The enemy would like to try to have some victory in our world, right? And you know there's only one thing that stands between him and us. And that's Almighty God. He leads us through the wilderness of this life, and with all, as Luther said, this world with devils filled, right? He leads us through it. And yes, there are things that hurt us, and there are things that trouble us, and there are even attacks that come our way. But if we understood what the enemy really wanted to do to us, we would give God thanks because he protects us more than we even know. There's a story about missionaries, and they were surrounded. They were in a little hut in Africa, and they were surrounded by a tribe with spears, and they were, because the tribal people were scared. They didn't know why these white people were there, and so they surrounded them, and the missionary and his family, they were just inside, and they were praying, you know, God protect us, and this and that, and all of a sudden, all those people left. And later, they were sharing Christ with them. They got to know them, and they got to share Christ with them. And they brought up, do you guys remember that night when you were around us? Yeah, we remember. Why did you leave? Because of all those soldiers that were around your house. They were, you know, in other words, God had set like angels around their house to protect them. And when they saw that, they took off. The native folks took off. And then eventually, Christ got shared. We don't know how God protects us. We don't know how many times God has stayed the hand of the enemy. And here, again, it's cause for praise. Who remembered us in our low estate and has rescued us from our adversaries. Who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. For his love is everlasting. So this is just to, you know, remind you of what we're talking about. The love of God is based on our relationship. You can't praise God without a relationship with him. All these things that we've talked about, everything that you know, the psalmist lifted up and what we've shared, it's all experience with walking with God. It's knowing God. Some of it we know from Scripture. I wasn't there when God created the heavens and earth, but Scripture clearly tells me that God made everything that exists and that he deserves glory. So sometimes it's something we learn from the Word of God. Sometimes it's the experience of our life. And again, Scripture guides us when we talk about salvation, for example. Scripture explained to me how I got saved. I had an idea, but my ideas were corrected by God's Word. But when I see it and I understand it, the more I understand about it, the more I see it, the more I thank God for it, the more I confess God's mighty work in my life, not my own work, but God's mighty work. And when I think about, again, all the provision, everything that God does, salvation, yes, but provision for my life, provision for our homes, provision for our families, all the relationships that he builds in us, around us to help us, right? God, indeed, those are great things that he does for us. He's worthy of praise. And I think praising is a very important part of our walk with God, to remember who he is, to remember what he's given us, all of creation, our very being, to remember his salvific work, how he's working in us in Jesus Christ, and to remember the perseverance. He's going to carry us through our world and get us to the kingdom of heaven. Now, we can't talk about praise and not praise. So we're gonna sing a couple more songs than normal. Just two. But it will be good to praise the Lord.